Today's 25 basis point cut in interest rate brings total cuts for the year to 300 basis points, while the repo rate sits at an all-time low of 3.5% and comes as the SARB lowers its growth expectations for this year, forecasting a 7.3% decline in GDP as opposed to the 7% projection made in May. But while some analysts out there expect growth to plunge by more than 10% and inflation unlikely to surge, was there potentially room for a deeper cut? And just how effective is the latest action in the current economic climate? Isaiah Mhlanga, who's executive chief economist at Alexander Forbes, and Razia Khan, chief economist for Africa and Middle East Global Research at Standard Chartered, both join us now with greater perspective. Thanks so much to you both for joining us this evening. Isaiah, I'm going to start off with you. Year to date, we've seen rate cuts of 300 basis points come through. The market very divided on the way they expected things to swing. We're looking at a Reuters consensus. 13 had been calling for a cut. 13, no change, and 2, in fact, advocating for a 50 basis point move. The SARB's MPC, in your book, settling on the right decision today, making the right call?
I think they made the right call, considering that they administered a lot of monetary policy stimulus since the beginning of COVID-19. And as they emphasize, monetary policy alone cannot solve South Africa's growth problems. But what they did also is to slightly revise the economic growth forecast, only 30 basis points to minus 7.3% from a previous 7%, as you highlighted. But I think we are likely to see this economic growth projection being revised further downwards. And as they say, with COVID-19 patients, that those that have pre-existing conditions, they will likely be impacted more. The same with the economy. South Africa is one of those economies that has pre-existing conditions, high debt levels, high unemployment rate, a slow pace of economic reforms, which means we are likely to see a deeper damage to South Africa's economy going forward than in what we see in other emerging markets. And as a result, perhaps the SARB is right to be a little bit conservative instead of administering 50 basis point as some in the market were expecting. And they said, let's perhaps do 25, so that next time we'll have something in our sleeves to pull out.
Yeah. Razia, the total reduction that we've seen locally, much larger than our emerging market peers. I mean, that median is sitting at about 100 basis points already. What are you making of the firepower the SARB is actually unleashing at this point relative to its peers and the extent to which it is warranted?
That's right. And of course, the starting point has a lot to do with it. So if we were to look at EM peers, 300 basis points of easing year to date, the Central Bank of Turkey has done something similar. But in general, you're absolutely right. South Africa has acted more aggressively. And this is partly because the SARB had the space in which to do so. It's known amongst EM peers as being one of the more hawkish central banks, very much focused on its inflation target. And as the SARB itself has argued, that gives it the credibility to act in a much bigger, more significant way.
Yeah. Isaiah, of course, inflation where it's at, leaving room for the SARB to maneuver at least. What does this do to build confidence, though, given the broader context? And how much does confidence really matter when ability to spend and drive demand is another thing altogether?
No, confidence matters a lot. But unfortunately, in this current environment, it's not driven by monetary policy. It's driven by security about jobs, which is non-existent, but it is also driven by the underlying healthcare problem, which is COVID-19. And we have seen an increase in infections and increase in death rate locally. So even with the stimulus that is being administered by the Reserve Bank, we are unlikely to see confidence recovering, particularly for the consumer. And as a result, even the interest costs which consumers are going to save, we're unlikely to see that money flowing through into spending, because consumers will hold on to that money. We've seen this in other markets. Consider the US, for instance, where we have seen savings as a percentage of disposable income rise from just about 9% to about 33% in May. And that just shows you the lack of confidence in the market, which translates into lower spending by the consumer.
Yeah. Razia, where are your confidence levels sitting as far as appropriate fiscal maneuvering is concerned and that kind of support? Because the SARB has reiterated, as Isaiah has said time and time again, that monetary policy is not going to be the panacea to South Africa's problems, that it will not be able to do the heavy lifting that's required to do to get this economy growing on its own again.
It's absolutely the case that monetary policy cannot resolve anything structural. But actually, I was one of the analysts really thinking that there was room for a 50 basis points cut today. And this is because of our forecast that actually there has been, since the last MPC meeting in May, an actual health deterioration, as well as an underlying economic deterioration. While it's true that monetary policy easing is not going to be able to resolve anything structural in the economy, the amount of relief that can be provided to existing borrowers is, of course, very easily influenced by those monetary policy choices today. So to the extent that we saw the last inflation print decelerating to 2.1%, the likelihood that it decelerates even further over the rest of this year, yes, the Reserve Bank is rightly considering what is the medium-term outlook. How much space is there really to have to be able to cut interest rates now without being forced into a situation where they're tightening while the economy remains fundamentally weak? Nonetheless, we think it is important to look at where we are right now. This crisis is far more significant even than the global financial crisis. We know that given the fact that it comes so soon after the global financial crisis, there's the question of how much economies have properly recovered even since then. We know that the weakness of demand is going to be a factor from all economies the world over going forward. These are not normal times, and perhaps monetary policy should not be considered within anything that looks like a fairly normal lens.
Yeah. That being said then, Isaiah, to what extent do you think that, the SARB's modeling and forecasting models been thrown out of whack completely? We've got so many X factors in play that it makes any kind of crystal ball gazing very, very tricky at this stage.
Don't even mind the SARB, mind Statistics South Africa, which has to do the job of collecting statistics in the first place, which the SARB would have to use. They have not been able to collect accurate statistics or comprehensive statistics as they normally do, and they had to impute some of the inflation statistics data, which itself comes with the downward biases in terms of the inflation prints. We have seen this globally. It's not just a South Africa story. So the issues of data collection from statistical agencies, they will bring in problems, or at least inaccuracies, as far as policymaking is concerned, to the extent that policymakers use that data, which is not comprehensively collected compared to other periods. But every forecaster currently, their forecasts, they are marred with inaccuracies. They are likely to see significant revisions going forward because of the underlying COVID that makes it quite difficult. Yeah. But also, given that even for businesses, they are also faced with the same concerns of lack of data, which is quite a big thing for policymakers. So it's not just a SARB issue, it's every forecaster's problem.
I asked the question because one of the key metrics or inputs here is inflation. I want to ask you how much risk you're pricing in on this picture turning around once the high base effect, I guess, fizzles out. And, the governor highlighting today that electricity price increases and broader administered prices start filtering through and taking effect.
No, that's a real risk. Electricity and administered prices are a real risk, but we also have to consider that we are working with an economy that is going to contract quite significantly. Yes, the SARB has a -7.3%, but we think it's going to be deeper than that. So there is no demand in this economy. A lot of people are going to lose jobs. Wages are being cut for those that still have jobs. So in the absence of demand, but also if you consider that the expectations is for the currency to weaken on the back of an increasing debt levels, it means even if we were to see a weaker currency, if you look in terms of the global inflation trends, the US is close to zero, Europe is close to zero, likes of Japan are negative. If you look at countries such as Singapore, they're in negative territory, which means we will be importing deflation. So we don't have a significant number of inflation push factors, except, of course, for the administered prices and electricity, which works to counteract some of those. So over the medium term, I think inflation will remain very low.
Razia, you highlighted that you were amongst the lot that was advocating, in fact, for a 50 basis point cut. Do you think that South Africa is safe as far as yield appeal is concerned? Because that's, for now, what's kept the rand relatively strong given the risk scenario here. And, I mean, how low can the SARB go before, low interest rates and that environment becomes damaging?
Well, the global factors, the global backdrop is all important here, and that could well open the space for the SARB to be easing even further. Let's not forget that in response to this health crisis, which is rapidly becoming an economic crisis, we have seen an unprecedented amount of stimulus from developed market central banks. What we've still been seeing, for the most part, despite some of the gains in selected EM currencies in the recent past, is a broadly strong dollar environment. Yes, there are geopolitical risks, but we haven't seen any structural break. We haven't seen the fundamental unwinding of some of those dollar longs. So this big push, the impact of that unprecedented central bank balance sheet expansion in developed economies, the flows that we could still see into emerging markets, it is yet to come. We haven't even started to see a huge amount of that, a very significant amount of that, and therefore we think the risks are still tilted. No matter how modest the potential yield advantage, the risks are still tilted towards those flows returning to emerging markets. Of course, this doesn't mean that South Africa's specific country risk does not matter. Yes. And fiscal policy is going to have to play a role in creating the confidence for investors that South Africa is still a place where they should be thinking of deploying some of that capital.
Okay, well, let's leave it there. Thank you both for having joined me on the line this evening. That, of course, Standard Chartered's Razia Khan and Isaiah Mhlanga from Alexander Forbes as well.